Good afternoon, one and all. This afternoon, we'd like to continue our series on the Book of Acts. We have done the introductory sermon, I guess, 2 weeks ago. And today, we're going to continue this series, beginning with chapter 1. And I've entitled today's message, God's Promise and Plan for His Church. Now, the church's annual theme has been chosen, and as you know, it is making disciples of all nations. And I believe that sharing the gospel itself really is the expression of Christian love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. As we grow in love, we are able to show love in sharing the gospel and also serving God and others. You can tell that a church is vibrant and healthy by the loving service of its members. This afternoon, we will discover a powerful motivation for us to serve with love. It comes from knowing God's amazing plan and purpose. This is found in our passage of Scripture, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, or verses 2 to 11. It records the last instruction which the risen Lord gave to His disciples, and describes how He was taken up to heaven after that. This event has defined forever what the church needs to do until the Lord's returns. There are two things which can motivate us to serve the Lord with love. The first thing is God's amazing plan for His church. We need to know God's plan for His church. God designed this plan to redeem a lost world. And it is absolutely amazing. The plan is immediately better than the best laid plans ever made by men. And yet it is simple enough for everybody to understand. The first part of His plan required the disciples to wait. Waiting for the power they need to carry it out. Carry the plan out. This is what Jesus said in verse 4 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts. He said, they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. What promise was He referring to? It is the promise of the power of the Holy Ghost. It is not the second baptism of fire or whatever, or speaking in tongue. It is simply the promise of the power or empowering of the Holy Ghost. This was the same power that had enabled the Old Testament prophets to minister effectively to Israel in all their teaching and preaching. This is the same power that had enabled the apostles and the disciples to preach the gospel of God so powerfully. As followers of Christ today, we can do no less than to serve through the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, like our Lord. And Jesus makes the same proclamations to them, to the disciples, in verse 8. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. All too often, we are just too impatient. We hurry and cannot wait to get things done. In fact, I have been guilty of this myself. I do not like to wait. I like to do things done. I like to get things done right away, immediately. The result is that I made a mess of things because I serve in my own strength and my own means. I know that the Lord has already fulfilled His promise at the Pentecost some 2,000 years ago by empowering His disciples with the power of the Holy Ghost. Yet the applications for us today is whenever we set out to do something for the Lord, we need to wait patiently upon the Lord. First, by praying earnestly for His empowerment and seeking His help and guidance. We still need to wait today. We need to ask Him to search our heart and our real motives for service. Read His word quietly and listen to Him as He speaks to us. In fact, we ought to wait upon the Lord every day in order to live as Christians. Let us not neglect our daily time with the Lord. When I say daily time, I mean our personal quiet time, our daily time with God. We must read. We must study God's word. We don't just read. We need to study God's word. Reading is easy. Skim through. And we need to study. And most importantly, we need to meditate upon His word day and night. Remember, don't forget, we need to pray to God to help us to understand His word. So remember, pray before you read and pray after you read God's word. So that God will help us. God will lead us. God will guide us. For without a personal daily quiet time with God, we will become weak to resist the temptations of the world and the lust of the flesh. We always need fresh supplies of power from God to face each day's challenges. For they wait up for, in Isaiah 40, 30, 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. If we go by our own strength and our means, we will faint. We will be wearied. Thus, we have seen that waiting for power was the first part of God's plans for His servants. The second part is given in verse 8. Verse 8, ye shall, and ye shall be witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. We notice that Jesus did not say, ye shall be my salesman, using creative methods of persuasions to market the good news of salvation, to package it so well and so good looking that people will love it and like it. By the way, people will not like it if you present the gospel faithfully and truthfully. The first reaction of people would be that, will be, oh, what is your message? I don't like it. I don't like what you preach. I don't like what you say. Neither did He say, ye shall be my fighters, using violence and bloodshed to force people into submission, as some religions do. You know what I'm saying? And He definitely did not say, ye shall be man pleasers. Preach whatever that tickles people's ears. Jesus tells them to be His witnesses. And yet, what does a witness do? Well, a witness faithfully proclaims the message he has received from God. In other words, to be a witness for Christ is to proclaim the glorious message of His kingdom. This is seen in verse 3 of our text in chapter 1 of the book of Acts. I read, "To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to" what? "To the kingdom of God." We are witnesses of His kingdom. And the end of the book of Acts, we see the same message being proclaimed, beginning and the end. Acts chapter 20 is the last chapter. And Paul, in verse 30 to verse 31, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own higher house and received all that came in unto him." And what does he do? "Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him." So you say, "Well, Pastor David, I thought we're supposed to be telling people the good news of how to avoid going to hell when they die." Well, that is true. But that is only partially true. Because the gospel is more than just getting saved. It's more than that. Let us understand that evangelism is not just about saving souls. It is about bringing people to know Jesus Christ intimately and to serve Him. In other words, to accept Christ as your Savior is to accept Him not only as your Savior, but as your King. This means removing self and any idol from the throne of your heart, and put Christ on the throne itself. Jesus is now your King. You are not your own King. Doing that makes you a servant of Christ, fully under His rule and authority. That is the gospel. Gospel is not just about getting saved. It's about getting saved and serve Him as your King and you as His servant. I believe one day the Lord is coming back again to usher in His earthly kingdom from Jerusalem. But the Lord's plan for the present is a spiritual kingdom. A kingdom where He reigns in the hearts of His people, rather than on a physical throne from Jerusalem. So whatever Christ reigns in the hearts of people in any part of the world, the kingdom of God is there. Is Christ your King? Is Christ reigning over you? So, dear friends, if you want to know whether you are in God's kingdom or not, please ask yourself, who is the King of my life? Is Christ the King of your life? Is He your King? Are you His servant? If He is not your King, would you repent of your sin and submit to Him now? Well, I guess all of us here have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior and Master. This is why it takes a man, a woman, to humble himself or herself before they can have the capacity to receive Jesus as their Lord. Savior, Master, and King. James says in chapter 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And the Lord Jesus is full of grace and mercy. He is most ready to forgive all who repent of their sins and submit to his lordship, because he has made a full atonement for our sins through his death upon the cross. This is the other part of the message that he has proclaimed by his witnesses. You will notice in verse 8 here that their witness should begin at Jerusalem, but because it was there that Jesus died and rose again and ultimately reached all nations of the world from there. Our Lord's plan was therefore aimed at creating a growing movement of his influence. Now, what makes this verse so amazing is that the rest of the book shows that everything happened exactly as Jesus has said right here. And God willing, we shall unfold the events recorded in this book of Acts in the coming months. As for now, we should be very excited that we can be part of God's plan. So let us commit ourselves today to be faithful witnesses, sharing the gospel, both by our words and by our actions, trusting God to give the increase. But let us understand that doing this will not always be easy and smooth sailing. There will be crosses for us to bear and witnessing. Jesus said, if you were to come after me, carry up your cross and follow me. Another passage, he said, carry up your cross, take up your cross daily and follow me. There will be mockery from the enemies of the gospel. I don't know if you can see on that, the comic says, the Christians is trying to witness to the other person, and the other person just mocked at him. And there will be difficulties and discouragements and even persecutions along the way. Now, this is a painting of the early persecution of Christians. But through them all, we will be supported by another thing, which leads to our second point of the message. It will be supported by God's amazing promise for our service. This is the second thing that we can motivate us to serve God with love. It is the promise of his eternal loving presence. There is great comfort in knowing that our living Savior is always with us. Verse 3 tells us how the first disciples of Christ experienced this. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. After Jesus has risen from the dead, he appeared to his disciples at least 12 times over the 40 days. During the time, they not only saw him, they also heard him and walked with him. And as he taught them, they even ate meals together with our Lord Jesus Christ. All those personal encounters with Jesus gave them tremendous comfort and confidence, knowing that the Lord whom they serve is not dead, but alive and well with them. And after the 40 days, Jesus was taken up to heaven, according to verse 9. And when he has spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. By the way, where it is said when Jesus was taken up from them? No, not at all. According to Luke chapter 24, verse 52, they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Why? Don't you feel sad when someone you love is leaving you or has left you? Why aren't they sad? Well, because he is still with them, even though they could no longer see him. This is truly amazing. Peter, the chief of disciples, wrote about this in his first epistles, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though not ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of joy, glory. What does this mean to us today? We too can find great joy and comfort in knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ is always with us. Always. He has never left us. Because he has given us his promise in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. He is still with you. He is still with us. In fact, Jesus is accomplishing his plans of reaching the world through us, just as he did through his first disciples. And we have mentioned in our introductory sermon, the book of Acts is actually an unfinished book. And an unfinished record of all the acts of Jesus through his servants. This is because Jesus has continued to do and teach on earth through his servants, through you, in every generation and even till now. And this same Jesus now continues to do and to teach on earth through us. This is what it means when we say that we are a body of Christ. We are his voice. We are his hands. And we are his feet. Through whom he is accomplishing his amazing plan of redemption. We are his body. Therefore, we must let him use us fully. For our body is not our own. Our talents are not our own. Our gifts are not our own. Our money not ours. We are simply his stewards. So let us have the same mind, said Apostle Paul, expressed so well in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And as we begin this series of studies of the book of Acts this year, I want to urge everybody, all of us, to make a firm commitment to serve him with love. As we consider God's plans for his servants and his promises for our service, let us rededicate ourselves. Let us rededicate our lives to him. Let us respond to the Lord Jesus from our heart by saying, "Oh Lord, I want to serve you. And I will trust you fully and use my life that I have to accomplish your plan and your will in my life. May your will be done." And rest assured that the Lord Jesus will hear your prayer and our prayer. And he will even add his prayer to his intercessions. Because he's interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. Romans 8:34 tells us, Christ who is even at the right hand of the Father of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. What a great blessing it is to know that he is interceding for us. As our great high priest in heaven, in order to produce God's richest blessings for us. And if all that is still not enough to motivate you to serve him with love, then please consider the glorious hope that Christ gives to you in his second coming. The hope we proclaim by two angels in verse 11. This same Jesus, the angel said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. In other words, the second coming of Christ will be like his ascension, but played back in reverse. He will appear to us physically and land his feet on the Mount of Olives. Physically. But one thing I remind you though, many professing Christian churches have tried to predict the dates of Christ's return, but all predictions have only brought disappointment. When the disciples ask about when will this glorious coming be? When? Give us a date. In which year? Jesus himself said in verse 8 and verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. It is not for you to know. So please don't believe anyone who claims to know exactly when Jesus is coming back. The Lord has disclosed details about the future, not for us to spend hours and hours trying to predict and figure out the time that they will happen. They are given to strengthen our faith, to encourage us in times of discouragements. It is there to comfort us that he is coming back. He is coming back. So that we will be able to endure and press on in our service, even under the most trying times. So whenever you feel discouraged, or find your burden getting too heavy to bear, please remember Jesus is coming back soon. And I don't know when. And I can't give you a date or even a year. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. There's a song that goes after this, actually. So in conclusion, in today's sermons, we have seen that all that we need in order to serve the Lord with love is found in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In his amazing plan for us, for his church, that he motivates us to be his witnesses. In his amazing promise for our service that keep us going and going no matter how difficult the circumstances become. This is really there's no better plan and no better promise than this. Let us therefore serve him with love, and let us serve him with joy. Let us pray.